Good morning. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. The faithful of Zechariah's day were concerned about the attitude of complacency and compromise which was spreading. To deal with it, dramatically, the Lord calls a sword into action. Not slicing through the complacent and the compromising, but his own faithful shepherd. Note how he continues, against the man who is my companion. Imagine what they thought, hearing about a man who is a companion of the I Am, sharing with him in everything he does. We've had the privilege of seeing, marveling at the fulfillment in the birth of Jesus Christ, true man and true God. But do we still wonder? Why, Lord, don't you raise your sword against the wicked rather than against the good shepherd? Many do. Listen to this quote from today's evangelicals. Christ's atoning death is merely a grotesque creation of the medieval imagination. Or another from a feminist leader. Such substitutionary suffering and death is irrelevant, distasteful, and vindictive violence that encourages further child abuse and the victimization of those who show sacrificial love. If you killed your son in some selfish interest, yes, that would be horrendous child abuse. But if in the face of a threatening national destruction, your son volunteers to lead the mission that saves your nation, though he loses his life in the effort, that is neither child abuse nor vindictive violence. It's sacrificial love. Your heart would ache in love at the loss of your son, but it would also honor the heroic commitment of his loving sacrifice and glorify his name. Surely those quoted mocking Christ's atoning death must not realize the grievous nature of our crimes. Every desire to seek our own will rather than the Lord's is a treasonous attempt to cast the Lord off his throne. Every lack of zealous love for the Lord is rebellion against his love. Our whole heart is so corrupted with these attitudes that God declares through Isaiah, there is no cure. Our nature cannot be rehabilitated, so no just judge would pardon such treasonous criminals. Those quoted mocking Christ's atoning death must also not realize the punishment that we deserve for such crimes. Galatians 3. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that curse is separation from God for eternity in the anguish of hell. This is not an option that God can just overlook, or that we may prevent by making some kind of amends. God's holy justice must eternally separate from all that is sinful. The soul that sins but once shall die. And yet, when his sword awoke to holy justice, the Lord turned its wrath on his own companion. Isaiah 53, he laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. He was stricken, smitten by God and afflicted for our transgressions. So those quoted, mocking Christ's atoning death, though they claim to be Christians, are sadly enemies of Christ. Yes, what a sad demonstration. That also today, also with our flesh, Christ crucified is to the Jews a stumbling block, and to Greeks, foolishness. So why would the Lord raise his sword against his own companion? There is only one answer. God so loved. God's love is so great, it's scandalous to man. God loves the wicked, the worthless, the wasted, so much that he laid the punishment of all our sins on his own beloved Son, the one who volunteered for the mission to save the nation of mankind, us, the very ones who cannot rehabilitate ourselves. The very night this sword was raised against Christ, his 12 disciples were so scandalized by his cross that they scattered in the darkness of denial and despair. When we presume, well, we're not that bad. We do have the right to live our own way. Why do I need to listen to God's word? We don't really need his sacrifice now. We are mocking Christ's atoning love as surely as those quoted. To our sinful nature, the cross of Christ remains a scandalous offense. But Jesus wants to open, to preserve your heart, ever rejoicing in that cross as a precious price that was paid to deliver you and me from the eternal bondage of hell into the eternal bliss of Christ's presence. In this cross, the wisdom and power of God has sealed our salvation. For as true man, Jesus fully took our place under the verdict of our sin and death. And with the holy lifeblood of God himself completely satisfied the divinely just punishment for the sins of all men. Rejoicing in that scandalous love, the justly condemned thief heard the astounding promise that it also brings to us. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. The thief's cross had become the pulpit of his prayer and praise. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. No longer was he complacent or compromising. In fact, Zechariah 13 continues saying that in that day of Christ's sacrifice, that day of Christ's return, all the complacent and compromising will be cut off. Purified in his cross, our hearts will flee complacency and compromise. And the Lord so glorifies his Son's sacrifice that finally he will cut off all who mock his sacrifice with impenitent complacency or compromise. So flee them now, lest that sword is raised against you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 153, stanzas 1 and 2.